Want to find a way to give back this holiday season, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. It's easy. Instead of wasting time and money on gifts that nobody wants or needs, help your friends and family give back and give to something good, something meaningful. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for a friend or family member, a cause, or an organization. Help out the local animal shelter. Get that little lending library up and running. Just make your world a better place. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. 'Tis the season for giving back, and giving feels good. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Football is back, it is. Baby.
I literally put probably no one, but I'm going to go back.
This could be Havertz's year.
That's probably the worst take I've ever heard.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Red and White Chalkboard with me, your host Cormac, and my co-host, Taylor.
Football is back, it is, baby.
It is well and truly back, that's it. This weekend, Premier League is back, finally. Been counting down the days for, I don't know, 4 months now, whatever the hell it's been, 3 months, 4 months, who cares. I'm very excited. Taylor, how are you feeling about it?
Oh, it's time to, you know, it's been lovely 3 months with friends, families, partners. It's time to shut them out, forget about them, forget about their existence, because the only thing that matters now is 9 months of football leading eventually into the World Cup.
Oh my God.
Oh, yes. Let's go. Let's go. The fun begins now.
It does. It's time to let every weekend affect our mood for the next week, for the next 9 months. It's going to be magical. Starting off this weekend as well with the big fixture, Arsenal-Man United, Sunday at 4:30, which we'll come on to a little bit later. But as you can see by this title as well, we are going to be building ourselves an Arsenal-Man United current combined 11. Now, that's going to be very interesting. So we're going to cover that. We're also going to do, like I said, a bit of a preview for the game, some other previews for the other Premier League games that are on this weekend, just a bit of general football chit-chat, and our new segment that we're going to be having weekly from now on is the Red and White Scoreboard, which we'll come on to shortly. But Taylor, should we just jump straight into the combined 11s?
Let's talk about it, man.
Let's talk about it. So one of, you know, I think football internet culture's favourite thing is to do a combined 11, mm-hmm. and everyone complains. So, no, you're wrong. No this, no that. So what we thought we'd do is get involved in that and make everyone think we're wrong. And it's just going to be a complete mess.
100%. I can't wait to be told that Cormac's wrong.
Unfortunately, likely as well, at the rate of the current comments. Not over it. But yeah, do we just want to jump into it then? Do you want to start us off?
Let's go. Goalkeepers?
Well, do you want to list off your entire team?
Oh, are we just going entire team? Yeah, okay, then let me do.
And then we'll kind of come back.
And then we'll round back. Yeah. And then we're going to lock in a combined red and white chalkboard overall 11. Team. Okay, yeah. So I've gone for a Ruben Amorim special. I've gone 5 at the back, ladies and gentlemen, in my dream team. Just because, well, actually, I'll tell you why I went for it. Because I thought about right backs and I thought, God, they all suck. So I thought 5 at the back it God. Is. So I've gone for, in goal, I've gone for David Raya.
Yep.
He is the bread on a shit sandwich in this.
No, come on. Yeah. We'll come back to this.
We'll come back to this. Right wing back, I've gone Ahmad. Right centre back, I've gone Lenny Yoro. Central centre back, I've gone Saliba. And then left centre back, I've gone Lisandro Martinez. And then at left wing back, I've gone for Jurrien Timber. So then in my centre defensive midfield position, I've gone for Declan Rice. And then partnering him slightly more forward in that A, I've gone for Bruno Fernandes. On my right-sided cam, I've gone for Brian Mbeumo. On my left-sided cam, even though I know this is the one place I probably shouldn't put him, is Bukayo Saka. And then, actually, I remember up front on my striker position, I thought, oh, this all stinks all round. I literally put probably no one, but I'm going to go for Harry Maguire.
All right.
Thoughts?
Oh God, Mikel Merino robbed, first of all.
yeah, that's fair.
God, that is an absolute mess. Mine is correct. And I think if anything, I've been too generous considering the state of that. In goal, David Raya. Right back, Jurrien Timber. Mm-hmm. Centre backs, Saliba and Gabriel. Left back, Lewis Skelly. Centre back, sorry, CDM, Zubimendi. Hasn't even played a Premier League game yet. Centre mid, Declan Rice. Attacking midfielder, Bruno.
Huge.
Right wing, Saka. Left wing, I've gone for Cunha. And then up front, I've gone for player of the season, Victor Gyökeres.
See, I think mine is considerably better than yours. And the reason why I say that is because I've gone for experience, Premier League experience. That team, half the players in that team haven't even played a Premier League
game. Two players. First of all, actually, I think you're fine. Victor Gyökeres has played a Premier League game before. For Brighton, I think he made one appearance.
Did he? When they were in the Premier League?
Oh, that's a fair point.
Yeah, someone fact check that for me.
I'm not fact checking that.
Yeah.
I say I'm right. And then Zubimendi is better than all United's midfield. The fact that you've got any United midfielders in there other than Bruno.
I've got a considerable United contingent because they are the boys.
They are not. They know what's up. Maybe the worst midfielder in the league. Or wouldn't midfielder. Midfield. It's a complete mess.
You
at the
don't
moment.
Know how close I was to chucking Uncle Casemiro.
Well, I was
going to
say
you
haven't got him in because he was.
Declan Rice ain't won nothing. Uncle Casemiro has won.
Oh, I'm sorry. Just the Conference League Cup.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Nothing
yeah,
to you.
Yeah. With Arsenal.
There you go. No one's won anything with Arsenal apart from that FA Cup, which people don't like. I like it. I think it was fun. Right. Let's just start at the back then, because let's just break this down, kind of section by section. Bokan Rahr and goal. I think he's probably at the moment the most informed. You can't say informed. I guess the season hasn't started. But he was the best keeper in the league last year. I don't think that's a crazy take. With the best defensive
Matt
Brother,
Sells
obviously.
Is drinking his cup of tea thinking...
Yeah, no, he was great as well, but he looks weird. So I think I had to pick Rahr.
Yeah, David Rahr does look
a bit strange. Yeah. Well, yeah. But he's a good goalkeeper and looking weird is fine because we both look a little bit strange.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't disagree because I'd love to. You know how much I'd love to disagree.
You'd love to get rid of that.
But I can't because Manchester United goalkeepers are generationally bad.
And they have been for a very long time.
Honestly, can I not just throw David De Gea in there? He was at Old Trafford last week.
Yeah, fuck it, why not? So, legacy player.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
Obviously, you've played a five back, which I think is probably the best way.
I can re-engineer my team 4-4 at the back.
Yeah, I would like that, please.
Okay.
So what would you, if you did a four back? Hang on. What is your four back, do you think? If you
my four back would be Jurrien Timber at right back, Lenny Yoro, William Saliba, and Patrick Dorgett.
How does Dorgu make that, man?
Look, you cannot let me get three Manchester United defenders into that.
I could not at all. That's outrageous. Arsenal, the best defence in the league last year.
And Man probably U, generationally bad.
Generationally bad. Okay, I think we're really going to struggle to agree on a serious back four. Here.
We both agree then, right back, Diego Dalo.
I know deep down you would love to say Dalo.
No, I actually saw a fantastic meme earlier because of Manchester United's current status. We're in the round two of the Carabao Cup because we have no European football.
I saw that, yeah.
And we got drawn Grimsby away. Huge. And the beautiful thing about Grimsby, beautiful town, great movie.
Shout out.
is that their stadium's right on the sea. And there's a beautiful meme where it's like, can't wait for Dalot's crosses to easily escape that stadium and they can just go get the ball out of the water. He's that good, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, he is that good. No, he stays out of this team.
Yeah,
Jurrien Timber, great player. Really like
him. Really well. You put him a left wing back and that wasn't even, I mean, he probably wouldn't ever play that, but he's that versatile, isn't he? He's that consistent and that good. I think he maybe went a little bit underrated. Actually, I don't think he did. People loved him last year, to be
fair. Yeah, no, he was good. I just think he's had a lot of injuries. And
well, obviously, because when we first bought him, he did his ACL and didn't play for the first season.
Ten Hag's talent ID was questionable at the best of times. But he actually really wanted Jurrien Timber.
Yeah, he did.
And very kind of out of nowhere that you guys signed him. It very much seemed like we'd pick that up a year later and bring him in.
Yeah, pretty much. It's one of those kind of Arteta.
Yeah, great signing for you guys. Really like him.
He's been
top player. Yep. Right back, locked in.
Locked in, easy. Left back we'll go to. So you are going for Dorgu.
Yeah.
I think left back is the only one where maybe Arsenal aren't the most, haven't got the most depth.
You haven't got a renowned player for the left back specific position.
I think Lewis Skelly is probably still the best option in terms of player. Because like we have Calafiori as well for Arsenal, who, as gorgeous as he is, struggled to stay fit last year, scored a screamer against Man City. And he's one of those defenders, I wouldn't say a classic defender, but he looks better in the opposition's half than he does on our own.
Yeah.
Like sometimes I'm watching him defend like one on one and I'm like, oh, but then he has the ball in the other half and I'm like, this guy's good. He's going to have a go and he's going to do something.
You know what? I am a tactically malleable man and I understand. I am a big tactico. So I can understand that Dorgu will not thrive in a fullback situation because he's higher than wide.
I'm willing to give you Dorgu because I'm not willing to give you ones further up the pitch.
this is me trying to trade off. So I can
There's no way. I'm willing to give you Dorgu. Like, I don't think Dorgu's amazing.
Huge.
I think he's a little bit lightweight. I mean, he's only, what, 19?
You say that. I'd say he's actually the complete opposite of lightweight. He's a bit of a physical beast. And if he can hone his powers, then I think he's bald, man. He's big, and he was pretty big anyway. He's got he's got a lot of stamina, a lot of running power. Big boy.
He is a big boy. All right, we'll put Dorgu in at left back. There you go, sir. Just because otherwise it's going to be this midfield as well.
Right.
So defensive midfielder, you've put.
All right, centre-backs.
Yeah. For getting ahead of myself. There's no way it can't be Gabriel and Saliba.
Okay.
I think Euro is fair if you're doing a three-back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's crazy. You've seen a lot more of Euro than I have. And what I've seen of him, I think he's looked fairly decent in the games he's played. I've seen a lot of United conversation stuff kind of leading up to the season from United fans who have all been raving about him.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said what you've echoed in that he's put on some weight, he's looked bigger, he's looked stronger, he's looked even more mature than he did towards the end of last year where he looked really solid. And he even came up with a few goals for you guys as well towards the
end. Had a great performance in the game against Athletic Bilbao in the Europa League.
Yeah.
In that major European competition, which actually I no longer consider a major European competition because Spurs won it.
Yeah. Oh, God, don't remind me. We don't have to talk about that.
Yeah.
And I do like Yoro, I think. I think he will be a good centre-back. Mm-hmm. But I think at the moment he's coming up against two of the top five centre-backs in the world.
I will concede.
Yeah. I think that's fair. You've got a United player in that back line somehow.
Yeah, I don't know how I've done it, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, I guess that's fair. I'm okay with that.
Okay, good stuff. Rest of the pitch then.
We'll start CDM.
Okay,
I also had Rice in at CDM.
Okay, so I had Rice in at centre mid, and I had Zubimendi playing in that CDM position.
Okay.
Who was your other midfielders?
I had Rice and then Bruno playing in at the 8, and then I had the two cams of Mbeumo and Saka.
God.
So
it's giving me a headache.
Going at 5 at the back, I knew would do this, so I thought I could gazump Cormac with my 5-back confusion. I can see
I am gazumped.
So I'm ready to make a deal.
Okay, go on.
I'm ready to trade my Bruno Fernandes in at 8. And trade my Rice in at CDM, move Rice to CDM to centre mid,
okay,
and then put Uncle Casemiro in at centre mid.
No.
What the hell, Matt?
I would rather Ugarte in that midfield.
I wouldn't. I've watched Ugarte plenty of times. he's not even on the bench.
No, but I don't want Casemiro in there. If this was 2018, I'd be like, absolutely. But
he's the experience alongside of Rice.
Don't need the experience, man. You've got Odegaard now, who is the Arsenal captain and is a leader. Rice is also a leader.
Odegaard's leading the blind into the dark, man. He's, don't know.
He was bad last year. Well, bad. He was down last year.
Sucked last year.
Injuries left him down. Yeah. I think the way we played as well didn't help, and he wasn't able to, you know, Saka being out for a period of time.
You heard it here first. Odegaard is finished, but Uncle Casemiro is back.
See, that's the worst opinion in the world. I think Odegaard is well and truly back this year.
We need to find a way through this.
Could we go to a 4-4-2 and then play two midfielders?
I don't want two strikers. I literally put Harry Maguire up front. Why would I go to a 4-4-2?
All right, well, I'm not doing that then. I'm not moving on not having any. I'm putting Bruno in there as doing you as a favour. I can simply have anyone else in that midfield.
Okay, then it's going to be Rice CDM and Bruno in the 8.
Okay, then Odegaard Cam.
I'll let it slide.
Odegaard Cam.
I don't think I will. I don't like Odegaard.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
You do. Still a good player. And he's going to be back this year. I reckon double digit. I think pushing 20 goal involvements again, as he did two years ago.
I'll take your Odegaard and I'll raise my Mason Mount.
I like Mason Mount, and I will die on the hill that he will. I think he'll be good this year. He's from what I've seen preseason, the general chatter, he's looked good. He's fit.
Yep.
And I really hope, because I really
likes him.
I really like him.
You know what? It's going to really stink. It's the classic Ten Hag first season. Started with Christian Eriksen up front because the ball didn't get him where he wants. Watch this space against Arsenal, Mason Mount starting in the number 9.
God damn. Yeah. Fuck it. Mason Mount is playing up front in the combat. No, he's not. Right.
Rice.
Rice.
Bruno.
Bruno.
and Mount.
I'm not putting Mount in the 10.
Okay. I'll concede. Odegaard it is. I'll let you have it.
Thank God.
I do
God.
See that there's a player in there.
Maybe one day we'll get that big move to Real Madrid.
Yeah, I'm in a rattling mood today.
I know, God.
It's Thursday.
It is Thursday. We're having a good time. Right. Right wing? That's tapping, isn't it? That is Saka.
I will concede on that as well.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Left wing, I think Arsenal are a lot weaker. As things stand, we haven't reinforced yet on that left wing, which I think is still the... If we're going to make one more signing, which is... I think we are. I don't think we're done yet.
No, you're not done yet.
I think we... It sounds like from the murmurs and the rumours you hear, there is something cooking.
You sell one or two players, you're going to be signing.
Well, there's a lot of like Trossard going out, isn't there?
Trossard leaves for 15 or 20.
Yeah, which is a shame because I do really like Trossard, especially as an option. I think so. Yeah, option off the bench and even his ability to play down the middle.
He's one of those output players I like.
Yeah.
But you know what my least favourite thing about when you just see all the big media doing all the combined 11s? When they put someone so obviously out of position just to shoehorn him in.
Just remind me, who was your striker?
Harry Maguire played more minutes up front at the back end of last season than he probably did at centre back. Anyway, well, I'm going to go for left. I hate when they do that, but I think because of the lack of quality on their left wing and because Manchester United have decided by going at five at the back, we can no longer own a winger, I'm going to put... I'm going to suggest Ahmad in a left wing.
Do you think? Over the likes of Cunha, who can play on that left side?
I just really like Ahmad.
Yeah. Has he ever played on the left?
No, I'm sure he'd be absolutely fine there. He's a good player.
He is a good player. I mean, like, again, I'm not going to really... There's probably an argument, I think, for Martinelli. I don't think we can...
I have not conceded so much for you to bring up Martinelli.
If he's up against Ahmad playing out of position... Who has been great for the last 9 months or whatever in the Premier League?
Yeah, Martinelli has not been great.
He's had double digit goal scoring seasons.
So is Garnacho.
Put him in there. Put him in.
Garnacho is the only pure left winger still at Manchester United.
Yeah, goddamn. God forbid.
We need a decision here.
I don't think.
I want a Manchester United player in at left wing.
I'll give you Cunha. I think Cunha is the position here.
No, because I'd rather take an Mbeumo over Cunha.
On the left?
On the left. And that's what I'm going to be playing him out of position. Because Mbeumo's output is better. So overall numbers are better.
I'd rather give you Mbeumo, I think, than Ahmad. Because I do like Ahmad a lot. I just think Mbeumo's a more proven player.
I'm not talking
about
Cunha a lot on the podcast, but I low-key do believe. I think he's probably going to be one of our more important players. And I wouldn't be surprised to see him have a better first season than... Mbeumo.
Do you think?
Yeah, I think he's really good. From what I've seen in preseason, really good at carrying the ball.
Yeah.
Which is why I don't believe the left wing's the best.
He's going to play on one of those two tens.
Mbeumo's a lot more explosive, which is why I could probably be acceptable.
He's streamlined, man. It's that hair.
Yeah, man. No, it's that anterior pelvic tilt that he has. The more technical term, it being the Eden Hazard gene, where his butt sticks out.
He has got one of those Eden Hazard asses.
Yeah, and it allows
him... It's impossible to tackle.
Yeah, it's impossible to tackle. He just gets his big booty in the way, and then he's literally press resistant. It's beautiful, and we now have one of those players which I'm really happy about.
Let it be declared, the Red and White Shortboard are big fans of big asses on football players.
Yeah, we are a big, big fan of anterior pelvic tilt.
We are indeed. Especially when it comes to wingers.
Yeah.
Okay, nice. I think we end up with Burma on the left.
Yeah. I'm happy.
Mbeumo and Mbeumo?
Mbeumo.
Is it actually Mbeumo? Mm-hmm. I thought you were saying that.
Brian Mbeumo. Yeah.
Mbeumo. All right, I'm going to roll that. I'm going to say it
because I know that I sound ridiculous saying it, but that is the way his name is pronounced.
Yeah, it is. Okay, then finally, that leads us to the number nine position. So I said Gyökeres. You said Harry Maguire.
I did that more for the clicks.
Yeah, it was for the clicks. Any world that Sesko mentioned in your mind, obviously, he is probably now going to be your number nine.
I need to be convinced of it. I need to be convinced of that. Mm-hmm. Like, if it gone to my head now, if I had to like pick a Manchester United striker to put in there, I would still pick Rasmus Højlund.
That's crazy, that.
Not really.
Well, what are your striking options, Sesko or Højlund?
Because it's a mental thing that when you buy a football player, you mentally
think they're better than
the
are.
Perfect outcome for their whole career at your club. So right now, it's really easy to imagine a world where Sesko comes in, blast 20 goals in his first season, and he's the answer to all our prayers.
Yeah.
What is more likely to happen based on everything that's happened at Manchester United recent years is he's going to struggle because we don't create lots of chances. And until I see evidence to suggest that that's not the case.
Mm.
I'd rather put Rasmus Højlund in, because for the lack of chances he has done, I've seen in a Manchester United shirt that he's scored some good goals, especially in European competitions, not so much in the Premier League. Youngest player to score in six consecutive games in his first season in the Premier League. He's done more in a Manchester United shirt in the Premier League than I've seen Sesko do. And I need to almost even out my expectations on what I've already seen, and I'd probably put them equal at the minute.
Very boring and very cautious of you there.
Yeah, it's very, very cautious of me. Which is why I'm with Harry Maguire.
Yeah, which is the safer option.
He scored some big goals for us last season.
He did, to be fair. Yeah. But what was that game? Was
Leon it the game.
Oh my God, that was mental. Beautiful. That was mental. Beautiful. Watching that.
So who would you like in it?
So I said Gyökeres, mm-hmm. which, again, I know you said about your... you haven't seen him yet in a United mm-hmm. shirt. And again, I haven't seen him other than friendlies play in an Arsenal shirt. I do think he's probably the best pure nine that we have in the club. That being said, Havertz did enter the mind.
You know what? I hate this world that we currently live in, because he entered my mind as well. Yeah. And listeners of the pod, watchers of the videos, I might not have said it in strictly speaking. I hate Kai Havertz. I hate that man. He's the antichrist of what I think football should be about.
I really like Havertz. I think he's underappreciated, especially in the way that Arteta wants
all
to play
all shit footballers
ball.
Are.
I take that back immediately. Nacho Monreal, baller, one of my favorite Arsenal players of all time. Mr. Mm-hmm. 8 out of 10 in the left back position every week. Mm-hmm. Shout out Nacho Monreal, we'd love to have you on the podcast. I think Kai Havertz is very unappreciated. Do you see his goal we scored the other day, by the way?
Yeah.
Ball over the top. Looked rapid. Yeah, but as you finished know. It, fending off his man. He's looking big, he's looking bulky, he's got Gyökeres to play up against him now. He's got a big competition. This could be Havertz's year. We could be looking at 25 Premier League goals Kai Havertz this year. I don't think we get the minutes to get 25
I'm
goals,
so happy preseason home and done with. The delusion is insane.
Don't mean the delusion. You know, I said it the other week.
I need to be the voice of reality once again on this podcast.
I said how little preseason means anything. And I stand by that fact. But I can't help but get excited because I'm a delusional football fan who wants to get excited about any glimpse of something. Mm. And Kai Havertz scoring that goal against that wasn't Villarreal. It was that Athletic Club. It just looks he looks big. He looks strong. He looks fast.
Okay, I'm willing to concede. Just and this is the leverage that I've got. Just so I don't put Kai Havertz in this team, so I do despise him.
watch him get 15 Premier League goals this year.
Watch him score against us at the weekend, and me have to eat my words again. I would like to go for Gyökeres.
All right.
Because someone who scored 52 goals in 55 games last season.
Caveat in the Portuguese league, obviously.
He scored a hat-trick against City.
He did, that's true. And he actually was a nuisance for City. It's always something different about
him. And also, European. I like putting more pressure on him because he is the striker that Arsenal... The problem is now you put so much hype and so much pressure on all you needed was a striker. So I'm happy to put him in because it adds to the spectrum.
It's interesting because you do hear a lot about kind of the pressure on Gyökeres. I don't think there's as much pressure of people making out onto him alone.
It does sound like there's a lot of pressure.
I don't think as much.
If he gets 9 goals and Arsenal finish third.
That would be interesting. But I think if he gets 9 goals and we finish third, I don't think you can look at Gyökeres and blame him for that. Because I don't think it'll be solely up to him not scoring.
Maybe.
9.
If he had next year 14 and he got 9 goals.
Because we scored, I saw last season, so I saw this earlier, we scored 17 goals less than Liverpool last year.
Mm-hmm.
If he comes in, and that's with Saka being out for however long, Odegaard being without however long, we've added Madueke, which I think is, again, I'm getting 10 goals, 10 assists, is what I've already said. I think he's got that in.
You know what, actually, I need to talk to you about that specific opinion. That you
okay, hang on, we'll come back to that. Let me finish my point here. Dickhead. 17 goals behind Liverpool. I think if he could get 15 Premier League goals, I think that's a successful year because I think Saka, if he can stay fit, will add more to what he did last year. He was out for 3 months. I think Havertz, if he stays fit longer than he did, I think he'll have more goals in him. And I think with the rest of the team, I think there is an... Rice is going to be coming forward a lot more now with the likes of Zubimendi there playing a little bit deeper. So I think there is no reason that he needs to come... He doesn't need to come in and score 25 goals. That's not going to be his choice is going to be finishing chances. So it'll be more of the test of watching him. Is he going to finish the balls up in front of him? Because he's not going to be scoring those goals they did for Lisbon where he's like running with these kind of slow 6'1" centre-backs who are just jockeying about 4 or 5 metres away from him. He's going to be having 6'3", 6'4", really quick centre-backs on him at all times. And it's going to be really important he is in the right places and is scoring the right goals. But I don't think there's as much pressure as people are making out.
it comes with the whole team, especially, I think there's more pressure on Odegaard and Saka this year than there is Gyökeres, in my opinion.
Interesting. It's a good take. It's a good take. I think for that to happen, like, the margin of success, if that was to happen, that's like the top echelon. That means you win the league and everything goes well.
Yeah.
But I think if you finish second again, which could very well happen, you could have a fantastic season. For sure. Someone could just be, Liverpool could just be incredible and win the league. And if you finish second, if you don't win, that there'll be pressure on the whole squad, and specifically Gyökeres, because he cost so much money.
Yeah.
And
50,
he was
50, 60 million.
But he was the answer to the prayers. Sure. He was the missing piece in the puzzle. He's phase 17.
Sure. I also think as well, if we don't get that extra, another that left winger that eludes us, that everyone has been chatting about for a lot this window, basically, then there will be again more pressure on him than if we do get, I don't think it's going to happen, a Rodrigo or someone like that. That would be pretty incredible. Even an Eze, but again, I don't think that's going to happen, which we'll come on to Eze in a bit later. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just don't think there is as much pressure. But I do, like I said, I still think he'll do reasonably well this year.
Oh, I hope so for you guys. You need it to happen.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
No, we do.
Gyökeres up front then?
That's the right, there you go. That is the squad. Should we run through it? Back to front?
Yes.
How good's your memory? Ryan goal.
Yes.
Right back, Timber.
Are you sure? I thought we had Diego Dalot.
He's looking for the ball that he's kicked in the ocean at the moment, so he's way off. Right back, Timber. Centre backs, Gabriel Saliba. Left back, crazy. Sorry, Lewis Skelly. I was calling Maitland Niles there, sorry. Another left back flash before my eyes. CDM, Rice.
Mm-hmm.
Central midfielder,
Bruno Fernandes.
Cam, Odegaard. Right wing, Saka. Left wing, Mbeumo.
Mm-hmm.
And down the middle, we've got Gyökeres.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good.
That's a decent team. I think Man United got lucky.
Naturally, I had to let it happen.
We had to.
I couldn't let it slide.
No, I'm being nice. That is the red and white chalkboard combined Man United and Arsenal
official
11. I think that's pretty spot on.
Yeah, it's a shame you couldn't find a way to put Mason Mount in there.
Oh, Mason. He's our number one in our hearts.
He's really a friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod, Mason. Yeah. Come on.
So before we crack on, I'm going to have to circle back to your Madueke 10 goals, 10 assists. Because we had a listener of the pod.
Shout out, Herb.
Specifically ring me up on Monday, having listened to the episode. And he goes, mate, I've heard some takes in my time and you spiel some nonsense. But that's probably the worst take I've ever heard.
Right.
And I just wanted to share that as like a live Google review right there.
So Herb doesn't know ball. And I think that's very clear. Because I just want to remind everyone that Taylor said Casemiro was going to win player of the season, was it?
Top three players of the season for Manchester United, I believe.
It wasn't for Man United.
Well,
it was for the league. It was for the league.
No, it wasn't top three players in the whole league.
I'm gonna have to run that tape back and remind myself.
I said he's going to be a top three player for Manchester United.
I don't think he did. I am going to double check that, and I'm going to put that in here.
Yeah.
Casemiro is top three players of the season.
And apologies if I am wrong. Herb doesn't know ball. Doesn't know ball at all.
That's fair.
I think Madueke's been very good, I think, on those low blocks.
That's going to be a crazy one to follow.
God, I'd love it if he scores this weekend.
Because we are going to be watching the game together.
I don't know who I want to score least. Madueke or Havertz.
It's going to be Havertz, isn't it?
Yeah, if it's both.
Yeah.
You ain't going to see me on the next pod.
Right, that being said, should we go into a bit of a preview for this weekend then? And then we'll follow up with the scores?
Yes, let's talk about it.
All right, so as we've mentioned to death, first game of the season is Man United versus Arsenal.
Red and white chalkboard derby. First game of the season.
First game of the season. No fucking about. Straight into it. Sunday, 4:30. Not under the floodlights, but it feels like it's going to be. Tough game for both teams to start things off.
Yeah, it could go either way.
Arsenal got some really tough fixtures.
So Manchester United.
Yeah, so it's a big game. I think going into it, obviously, there's been a lot of talk from both teams this year.
Mm-hmm.
Man United have made some very good signings, you know, in the likes of their forwards, Mbeumo. Cunha's looking very good as well. They're both signings. There's probably still some recruitment needed in the Man United team. I think that's probably safe to say, especially in the midfield, and maybe goalkeeper I haven't seen a lot about.
Goalkeeper would be very last minute if it was to happen.
Yeah. And then the narrative as well, obviously, for Arsenal going into the season, that it very much feels like this is the year to win the league.
Mm-hmm.
And starting off at Man United at Old Trafford is a very difficult game.
It is. It feels like these two teams in particular have so much at stake. The just the nature of the two clubs as well. There's no middle ground. There's always the nature of extreme.
Mm-hmm.
Either team are to lose that first game and it's absolute disaster immediately.
Yeah.
Whoever wins that game, all of a sudden, they're ready to start whatever they're going to be achieving that summer, the season. And whoever loses, it gets scary quite quickly. And the online discourse will turn pretty bad pretty quickly.
I mean, there always is awful, because Man United and Arsenal fans are probably the most vocal online in terms of just...
have the most time on
their hands. Unemployment rate is crazy. So I think you're right, though. It feels like, for a lot of the other big clubs as well, so like Liverpool have just come off of being a big league win, which no one was really expecting, no one predicted. And it feels like now almost there is a bit of an understanding that it has been a bit of a rebuilding summer for Liverpool. So maybe they're not expected that. I mean, they've spent however much money, which they haven't spent, obviously, but it almost feels like maybe they're not guaranteed that league title. And because they've just come off a win, they have a bit of slack.
Yes.
Man City have done so well over the last 10, 12 years. So no one really, the pressure isn't there. And everyone believes in Pep. Chelsea, who are probably the other title chance at the moment, are on the up, really. And they
Club World Cup victory in the summer.
And they've got better every year.
Yes.
Whereas now, if you look at other kind of just the title contenders or whatever, it is all really on Arsenal now. The pressure is on Arsenal to finish second the last 3 years. They do need that trophy. And that trophy, it can't be, a Carabao Cup's not going to do, is it? It needs to be a Premier League or a Champions League.
But also, don't forget, Arsenal fans, that the position you find yourself in is glorious no matter what happens. Because, no, but look, my team finished 15th last year.
Yeah.
And all we want to do is finish in the top. We just want to see an improvement on 15th place. So you guys are going for first. And if you don't get first, it will be devastating. The narrative will turn.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it's not a bad position to be in. Obviously, it'd be great to get some silverware. You do need some.
We need some. It feels this is really the year. I mean, I don't think Arteta will get sacked if we don't win anything this year. But I think there will be conversations about...
Do you not reckon if you finish third?
I think it's very contextual, isn't it? It's impossible to say now. I think kind of how you go out, whatever, et cetera. That's a conversation for further down the line. But realistically, Taylor, if Man United... Let's say Man United finish sixth this year.
That's absolutely ginormous.
That's a success, right?
That is a 9-place increase on where we finished last year.
Yeah. I mean, you shouldn't have been where you were last year, should you? In terms of squad.
You say that, but on performance, yes, absolutely, we should have been there. We lost week in, week out. We were turning up to teams in 14th, 13th, 16th, 17th, and looked the second best team. Sadly, that squad only pulled their fingers out of their backsides when it seemed like it was their pride on the line rather than their professional standards.
I know when you won the Europa League in the final as well against Spurs.
Yeah. And and for us to get a lot of people are inside the club, like genuine employees of the club are saying that all they actually want is a top half finish this year.
Yeah.
On the basis that they just want to do something, they want tangible improvement so that we can forget about last season. Because this time in a year's time, we want something which isn't this absolutely stinky memory of the year before. Right now, if you talk to a Man U fan about last season, you'd think they've just returned from war. It's like the PTSD is real and it's horrible. It was a devastating time to be a Man U fan. So we just want to try and change the narrative. We want to see important results. We want to see players who we know are better play better. We want to see a team that look like a team. We just want the basics of a football team, essentially, and to see it work. And we want to see a tangible effect on them. Tactics and the formation and the style for us to be convinced as to why we've gone down this extreme path of going off our history of 4-3-3, bombing wingers, and now we've got five at the back. And you know, we need tangible results. Easier to achieve than Arsenal's goal?
Yeah, I think so. Well, the only way is up for United, right? Yes. Compared to last year. It would be an unbelievably impressive year for all the wrong reasons if you had a worse year than he did this
year. And I'm going into this season a bit more positive because there's a few teams where I'm questioning how they've strengthened. And I'm talking these teams are like Wolves, Aston Villa, Fulham, teams like that. Because they're the teams who were finishing above Manchester United last year.
It's that mid-table, isn't it? Yeah. The kind of single-digit mid-table that the clubs that you want to be.
Crystal Palace haven't done a lot of business. So these are the teams you should be having spent $250 million so far, expecting to leapfrog. So if we don't, then it's...
I think Man United still need at least a top eight finish. I think you've got to aim for at least European football.
100%. we desperately need European football for our finances, just for the overall well-being of the club,
yeah.
For us to move forward and to make progressive signings next year as well. The squad's going to go under, like, a lot of players are out of contract as well next year, so there'll be more players who are needed. So for us to kind of bring in the players we'd want, we'd need European football of some sorts.
Yeah.
It's going to be really interesting. And the thing for Manchester United, which I don't necessarily think is as relatable to Arsenal, is we need to perform from the start.
Yeah.
We need to start hot. If we can get to the September international break and the first, I don't know how many games it is, four games.
That is the worst international break of the year, by the way. Just as you're getting excited going into the season, just as it's warming up, you get fucking...
Two weeks off.
Cut off.
To watch England play Macedonia.
Oh, just and, no one gives a shit about it. Yeah.
If we need to go hot at the start, win the first... Like, we need to win, say, three or four of the first five games and not lose, maybe. Albeit we have the most difficult first six fixtures in the Premier League, like, in terms of the index that they created, the rank difficulties, we're top of that table. You'll never sing that. so it's going to be really difficult, but somehow they need to pull together immediately from the start. And that means if we draw against Arsenal, but we've performed cohesively, that's a victory, which is ridiculous to say because we haven't won, but that's essentially what we need.
Yeah.
Whereas if you draw against us and you've performed cohesively, I feel like that's probably a missed opportunity for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, kind of this season, if you look at, we haven't lost to a top six team, a big six team, should I say, quotation marks, which doesn't really exist anymore. But in the last 3 years, I think it is.
Yeah.
So it's never been a problem really playing against these bigger teams.
I keep saying,
Taylor, sorry.
We have the doors open, so it's basically a zoo in here.
the bigger squads, quote unquote, we've never had an issue with. It is those, you know, the kind of mid-tables, your Brightons, your Brentfords, your Fulhams, your Villas, that we always really struggle getting wins over. So I don't think, like, I think we've got, you know, you want to start hot and you want to win this weekend, but not winning isn't going to be a disaster. But again, we should be winning, I think. Right, go on then. We'll come back to predictions, shall we?
We'll come back to predictions.
Yeah. But yeah, that's kind of our thoughts on the game. And I guess the kind of first weekend.
Also, pick one key matchup.
It's going to be, for me, it's that midfield, because I think we're going to run right. I'm predicting a Declan Rice masterclass here coming in. I don't know who's going to start in midfield.
Got a good goal, didn't he, for you guys in the preseason? Where he ran around the goalkeeper and finished.
You know what? I'd heard about it. I haven't seen it.
That's
I'm a fake fan.
I obviously have too much time on my hands.
Yep, I think so. But I'm expecting a masterclass there. I think Declan Rice, man of the match performance. I don't know who you're going to start in midfield. But I think he's going to give you a really rough time.
Interesting. I think key battle for me is Dorgu up against Saka.
That'll be interesting as well. It's a test and a half for Dorgu, isn't it?
Because Ahmad will start the game at right wing back, but I'm not worried because it's either going to be Madueke or Farinelli, and that's pretty chill. On the other side, I think Dorgu's prerogative is to be as far forward at any given moment as soon as we have the ball, and that gives Saka, who that means will be coming up against Aiden Heaven, a lot of space against a very junior centre back.
Yeah,
I think that's the key battle down Saka's side.
If Saka has a good game, you guys are in deep trouble.
Yeah, deep trouble.
Yeah.
I think
there you go. But now that will lead us nicely into our new segment, which is going to be this season, the Red and White Scoreboard.
Ding 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 ding.
Whoa, ladies and gentlemen. So this is going to be us, me and Taylor, versus each other. This year. Battle to the death, indeed. Each week, we're going to take it in turns to pick five fixtures, and we're going to predict the scores and the results. And the way it's going to work is it's going to be like a league table of two, as sad as that sounds. Get the correct score, get 3 points. Correct result, 1 point. You know, nothing, 0 points. And we're going to keep logging this throughout the year and basically see how we do. But I'm quite excited. Obviously, one of those games is going to be Man United Arsenal this weekend. But Taylor, do you want to pull up perhaps the other fixtures that it's going to be?
Or? So I'll go. We're going to both pick two for this first. We're going to both pick two fixtures each, and then the United Arsenal will be the fifth one.
Yep.
So hopefully we haven't picked the same ones. But my first one I'm going to go for is Crystal Palace versus Chelsea.
Okay, I like that. Is that that's a 3 o'clock game? Is it?
That is no, that is the 2 o'clock game on the Sunday.
Okay, nice.
Don't know if Chelsea. Double check to see if Chelsea were at home or not. Because that's actually quite imperative on my score, actually.
I was say, well, the other game I was going to pick was also a 2 o'clock game on the Sunday, which is
interesting.
Aston Villa. Oh, sorry, it's not. It's a midday 12:30 kick
on the Saturday.
On the Saturday, which is the Aston Villa versus Newcastle game
okay.
at 12:30.
Whereas the Chelsea Palace one is Chelsea at home.
Chelsea at home. Okay. So, do you want to go first on my game?
You go first. You pick the game. You go first.
Okay. I'm going to go for... I really like Palace. I think the vibe of post-Community Shield, it's a trophy if you win it. It's a pre-season friendly if you don't. Beating Liverpool on penalties, I fancy Palace. So I'm going to go for... I'm going to go for a 3-2 Palace.
I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that. That'd be nice. That'd be great to watch. I, unfortunately, am not that pessimistic and are boring. And I think
taking it seriously.
I am. I think Chelsea are going to do them. I'm going to say 3-1 to Chelsea.
Yeah, that's a completely fair score, actually. Yeah. I'm so going to lose this. I can't help let my bias
No,
begin.
But I think you're going to need a bit of that.
Yeah, I think a bit of this, good. A bit of that.
And then my first game I've picked is Aston Villa Newcastle, 12:30 on Saturday. I think it's going to be 2-1 to Villa, which is a very boring and predictable score. Again, a 2-1,
mm-hmm.
the most common score in football.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a 3-1 Aston Villa win.
Okay, nice. We've both gone Villa wins then.
Yeah.
Interesting. What's your second game, Taylor, that you've gone for?
My second game is going to be Tottenham versus Burnley. Nice. 3 o'clock on the Saturday.
Nice, I like that. Go on then. What have you got for me?
I'm going to say Tottenham win this 2-1.
Okay, I'm going to go 3-0 Spurs on that one.
3-0 Spurs.
I think so. As much as it pains me.
Are you
to
sure
say,
you're not but... thinking a Scott Parker masterclass?
God, no, I just think they're that bad. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. Burnley are going to really struggle, and I think Spurs are all right. I mean, they've got a few, I think Solanke's doubtful for the first game.
No, he played in the Super Cup.
Oh, did he play? Yeah, of course he did. Yeah. Oh, by the way, lol, Spurs lost. Yeah, really huge. Funny. 2-0 up. No one cares, though.
Mm-hmm.
And then my second game I'm going to pick, I am going to go for that 5:30 game, which is the Wolves Man City one. On the Saturday.
Okay, I reckon.
I'm going to pick first, actually.
Okay,
I'll pick first
go on then.
2-0 City.
Shout out John spelt J-H-O-N. Like that spelling of John, by the way.
I think that's the correct way to spend John.
Yeah. And he was brought from Fluminense in Brazil, who he had a very good Club World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
He's 28.
Called John, Brazilian, obviously.
Yeah, huge.
Yeah.
those guys love British names. Yeah. And I reckon he's going to score. I'm going to go for the differentials here. I'm going to go for a 2-2.
Ooh, I like it. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Well, then that leads us very nicely.
I'm so losing this already.
On to you. You can't say that already.
Yeah, I know. I've already lost faith.
I know. That's lead us on very nicely to Man United versus Arsenal. Taylor, as Man United are at home, I'll let you pick your first score here.
Okay, I'm going for another 2-2.
I think that would be, I mean, that's very realistic. Genuinely, I think that could happen. Yeah. Do Arsenal let two goals in?
Do Man U have two goals in?
There you go. So many questions, which we'll find out very soon. I'm going to go with a 2-0 Arsenal.
Okay.
Win on that one.
2-0 Arsenal.
Boring fucking game.
Okay, bonus point available.
Ooh.
Got to guess the goal scorers.
All right. Oh, God. Goal scorers, plural.
Yeah, I got four to pick from.
Oh, God.
No, but I'll pick two. We'll both pick two each.
Rice Saka.
I'm going to go for Cunha and Saliba.
All right, very nice. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. The first week of the Red and White Scoreboard, we'll be coming back to that every week.
Gosh.
And kind of logging the points and seeing how we both do. I think that's going to be a really interesting way to see. Do we know ball?
Oh,
probably
God.
Not, to be honest
this
with you.
This is actually a critical way to analyse whether or no ball
this
or not.
This really is. I mean, I'm going to be honest, I don't think we do no ball, but you guys will be able to figure that out and judge us. If anyone is listening at this point of the podcast, first of all, fair play to you. Join in, eh?
See what your predictions
do.
Below.
Yeah,
you might. Do. You'll just get a kudos from us.
You will, nothing else.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, we'll give you a shout. Well, that kind of quickly little summary then of kind of the rest of the football that's been going on this last week.
Yeah, Spurs lost the Super Cup.
After going 2-0 up.
Yeah, that was funny. I originally tuned into Hate Watch. Was getting ready for my first Hate Watch of the season. Actually, second after Liverpool, Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
Was very ready for it. Spurs winning 2-0. I was like, oh, that sucks.
Yep.
Turned it off. Went to bed. Checked my phone. Lol. 2-2.
Mm-hmm.
And then they lost on penalties.
Yeah. Quite embarrassing, actually, Spurs. So
yeah, I heard that. Well,
very Spursy.
Very Spursy. They played well. Tangible things you can take from it. Doesn't help.
It is a friendly, isn't it?
You'd want to win it though.
Of course.
You have friendlies, and then you have like
It's the same as like the Community Shield, isn't
but
it?
But I'd say it's a bit more because it's the European, you both won respect. Yeah, so I'd say I rank it just slightly more above
it's, the It's two thirds shield. Of a game.
Yes.
Or 100%. Maybe three quarters, let's say.
Yeah, three quarters of a game, which you don't really want to lose anyway.
No, and especially the week before or the week of. They're playing on Saturday as well, which is a quick
Yeah, that's true. Valiant effort. Yeah. But yeah, long.
Yeah.
Spurs.
That's it.
Manchester United, belabor, development. Not really. No, we are there. Continuing to be interested, continuing to discuss via intermediaries.
Whatever the fuck that means.
Yeah, exactly. And who knows? Apparently Manchester United might lodge an initial bid. I can't imagine it's going to come before the first lot of Premier League games.
No.
It's going to be one that's probably going to go right down to the final weeks. And even still, I give it like a 40% chance of happening.
Oh, I think it's less than that. I think it's about a 10% chance of happening.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Maybe
less.
It's only because I said it out loud. And I was like, I need this to happen.
The big one really is two kind of main stories, I think, from this week. One being Isak and the other being Donnarumma. Isak, we have spoken to death a little bit, but it's kind of come out this last week that he's now saying he's never going to play another game for Newcastle.
Yeah.
What do you think of that? Because I think that's probably not a great look.
I think this is where he's gone over the line now and it stinks a bit.
Yeah.
I think to say that to a club which brought you for £60 million, gave him, if he didn't want this to happen, he shouldn't have signed a six-year contract when he joined.
Mm.
Like, six-year contract is a long contract. They spent £60 million on him and he got better.
Mm.
He, you know, under the guidance of the coaching staff and the overall player staff that work at the club, he became a footballer, which is now arguably worth £130 million.
Mm.
To go back on your employers who have given you so much, to go back on fans who have treated you so well, there's one thing at the beginning of the window saying, look, guys, I'm leaving. Let's get this done.
Yeah.
Look, if they're going to come in and pay £120 million for me, let's all just shake hands. It's a completely fair amount of money. Give you plenty of time to go get that replacement before everyone else gets signed.
Mm.
That's fair. But now that the season's starting and to disrupt the Premier League season like that, I think crosses the line. Thoughts?
Yeah, I completely agree. It is a shame. And you do wonder, obviously, we've spoken about it before as well, with Newcastle not having a sporting director, and they've had two in the last 2 years or whatever it is. You wonder maybe what was promised behind the scenes, what he was guaranteed, and what maybe if there is some. Again, this is all speculation. We have no idea. It might just be his agent going, actually, I think you could probably get a good leave here and I could get a sweet little payout.
Yeah, sweet little payout for the agent. Yeah. I hate that. Worst thing about football is agents.
Footballing agents. I'd love to be a football agent.
If you ever saw the football, like FIFA release a table every year totaling the amount of agent fees and commissions that these agents are earning.
Oh, sickening.
For manoeuvring these moves. And it's absolutely mind-boggling.
So much money.
So much money gets lost by agents collecting their bag for a player.
Maybe that's our calling then.
If there's any young ballers out there who have potential, please hit us up on our agent helpline and we will do our best to service.
To get ourselves as much money as we possibly can.
We will treat your career with the sincerest qualms.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, a real shame, I think. I mean, the thing is as well, I still think he probably will leave. What do you think?
I don't think... I've kind of switched my tune now.
I keep changing my mind, to be honest.
If they don't sign someone, they can't... Because remember, they lost Callum Wilson as well. So they need someone to replace Callum Wilson.
Then Isak.
Yeah, and then they'll need someone to replace Isak. So until they almost get two strikers through, they have Will Ossola, who played like 10 minutes
young
last
lad,
year.
Yeah.
Like, they want two strikers until they get one for Callum Wilson. And now that the season's starting, look, Newcastle are probably like, lol, cool, say what you want. You never have to play for us again. You've got 3 years left on your contract.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And the Saudi owners aren't going to give a shit.
Their owners are going to be incredibly prideful about this, you know. Do you think Saudi owners get told anything often? No. And when they do, they're like, lol, cool. Not going to listen to you. So I doubt a player who, yes, is worth a lot of money to the football club, but in the overall scheme of the Saudi private investment fund spectrum, he's like a drop in the water.
Yeah.
So they're probably going to be like, well, you have 3 years left in your contract. You don't have to play for us again. Enjoy doing nothing for 3 years, unless someone offers this.
Because Sancho would. So why not?
That's it. Collect the bag, brother.
Yeah, it's a shame for him to go out like this for Newcastle, because I think Newcastle fans will be gutted. That being said, if he does play again, which if he stays, he obviously
almost
will.
Definitely will. The football world is so fickle. The season will start
2 weeks in a row, and he's being cheered and remembered as a legend again.
Yeah, you're telling me as soon as he remembers that Newcastle have Champions League football, he ain't going to just put his boots back on and be like, I'll play in this.
Exactly, he will. And the players will forget about it. The fans will forget about it because he's still a quality player.
Uh-huh.
And the world keeps spinning.
Huge.
Yeah. Donnarumma is an interesting one, actually. I think it's come out this week, basically, for those who haven't seen. Donnarumma, obviously the PSG goalkeeper. Luis Enrique has essentially said, doesn't see him in his future plans, doesn't want him. Donnarumma has gone, what the fuck? I've been here for however long. I want to stay. I want to be here. But it's basically come out that he is going to leave now in the next 2 weeks. The biggest link I've seen is Man City. He seems to be the biggest target for.
James Trafford just sat on his phone going on Twitter. He's like, oh, what's happening today? Oh, cool. Manchester City looking to sign Donnarumma.
One of the best, probably the best goalkeeper in the world.
Probably is going to win the Yashin Award at the Ballon d'Or this year, you know. And James Trafford's waking up with his coffee, getting ready to put his new training gear on, head down to his new club. And he's like, oh,
wait a second.
Wait, what are you guys up to? Yeah.
Which is really, really bizarre. Because it does look like Edison's on his way out. So if not this year, it will be January next year.
Yes.
Trafford, obviously, they signed him because he was like, he's going to be the guy now. He is going to be the next keeper. By the way, James Trafford, so I was listening to the overlap this morning. 6'6", James Trafford. Big boy.
He is a big boy. 6'6" is tall, isn't
it's
it?
It's really Matt? Tall. We don't get many keepers that big.
No, that's true.
Like, that big, it's so hard to get down.
Yeah, that's true. It'll be interesting. I think from Donnarumma's perspective, PSG have obviously signed Lucas Chevalier from Lille. Mm-hmm. Do you appreciate the pronunciation?
That was very good. I like that a lot. That was very
and for 40 million euros. And obviously they brought him in with the premise of he's the number one goalkeeper for now.
Yeah.
I wonder why the mind shifts. I think it's because in the big games he proved his worth.
Mm.
But in the overall spectrum of a season, Donnarumma does have the douse of a bozo.
It's interesting. I say that a lot, by the way. I've kind of editing these videos, I will start 90% of my sentence with it's interesting. Maybe that just says more about what you're saying, Taylor. I just find everything really interesting.
I wish more people would do that with me.
But it's me being nice as well. But it is interesting. Because up until last year, I've always said I've never seen Donnarumma have a good game. And I just
unless it's against England.
Unless it's
don't remind me.
Ugh, God, bastard. But I just never saw him have a good game until last year in the Champions League, especially against Arsenal. God damn. That second leg, I think.
Game, that save he made against Odegaard.
Yeah.
He got down so quick and looked like he's a wrist breaker.
Depressing as hell.
Yeah.
So I've kind of completely changed my tune on him and thought he was one of the best keepers in the world, which he probably is on his day. But I have also seen that in the sense of maybe he isn't Mr. Consistent.
He's not very good with the ball at his feet.
No.
He does have lapses in concentration.
But is that over races, arguably? Because if Pep's going for someone like that.
Well, Pep is the trendsetter of world football, and football is cyclical. So yeah.
Joe Hart, get your boots on. We're coming back.
Get back out, man. Like, you know, ball playing goalkeepers are a thing of the past.
Yeah.
It's funny, we signed a ball playing goalkeeper in Andre Onana, who actually, in fact, could never play the ball and also can't save.
Yeah.
So we managed to sign an all-rounder. But anyway, enough on Onana.
Yeah. I thought this was going to be, to be fair, when I heard about this, my initial thought was Man United or Chelsea.
It screams Chelsea.
It screams, because they obviously went for Mangon earlier in the season.
They went very quiet very quickly.
They just fell apart. I think it was over fees. They weren't agreeing, so they just literally called it off. So obviously it felt quite sour towards the end. And Sanchez is not the one, really, if you want to push for a title. I don't think you could have Sanchez in goal. No disrespect, brother. I love your head, but I just don't think you got it. And I think Man United just did in the hunt for a keeper. Obviously, United without European football. Mm-hmm. Are they going to be at the likes of Donnarumma? Who knows?
I knew that was never going to be a non-starter, because I think this new Ineos regime and the way that they, who they're targeting and what they're going for, Donnarumma would have been an Ed Woodward transfer all over it, like 4 years ago.
And you know he'd come in and be shit.
He'd be all over it, $300,000 a week. He'd give him a 4 or 5 year contract, give him the number one jersey, thinking, guys, we're going to make this much money in the marketing department. I don't think now that's what we want. We'll be signing a younger goalkeeper, if not at the end of this transfer window, next year will be probably top priority.
Yeah.
Not for Manchester United. So I really wanted to go to Chelsea because I think it has the potential to be hilarious.
Oh, I don't know, man. I just don't need... I think Chelsea do look good. And the longer it has been since we've done our predictions, the more I'm like, Chelsea.
I'm trying to talk it into existence.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean.
Go back to being rubbish.
Yeah, I agree. And just to finish off, I think quickly touch on Eze and Arsenal in general.
And Tottenham.
And Tottenham as well. Do you want to kick this one off?
Situation emerged the day that Tottenham were interested in signing Eze, obviously a long-standing target of Arsenal during this transfer window. Spurs had registered their interest and were in discussions with Eze. He has a release clause, which currently stands until Sunday, I believe.
That's changed so many times.
Yeah, I've heard so many different versions of where that release clause sits, but there could be a release clause. If not, Crystal Palace still recognise that they probably might have to sign him so they can reinvest. They want to be doing that sooner than later.
Yep.
We've talked a lot about how Eze would fit in at Arsenal and what his role would be there. I actually think if I was Eze, the better move for him would be Tottenham.
I agree.
Because he would be the best player in that team. And he would have a defined role, especially with Maddison out for the season. And he would be able to be the star man, albeit he would have to move to Spurs. Mm. But also now the narrative in my mind on this situation has changed because it's gone from Eze signed to Arsenal. And if it was the transfer to Spurs in isolation, that's different. I now believe it's who out of Arsenal, basically who wins out of Arsenal or Spurs, who gets the man. Because if Spurs get him, they got one over Arsenal. And if Arsenal do eventually get Eze, it's now one over Spurs. It'll be interesting to see which club decides to make that move to kind of get one over the other.
From what I've seen, it seems to be Arsenal have kind of put Eze down a little bit in terms of their priorities. Mm-hmm. Kind of all the reports that have come out, especially in the last day or two, is that Arsenal very much consider Wanyeri now to be that kind of number 8, number 10 kind of guy. And obviously that's kind of where Eze tends to operate, really, is in that 10 position. Or yeah, and the idea would be if he came in, he'd probably play alongside Odegaard in that kind of left attacking midfield pocket. Whereas I think they're now kind of Arsenal are expecting now Wanyeri to play that kind of position.
I prefer that.
I think that makes sense. And I think that does, I know we've kind of spoken about before, I think we should prioritise a left winger
100%
over the likes of Eze at the moment. But again, it sounds like there needs to be some outgoings for that to come in, yes, which unfortunately might be Trossard, which I think would be a shame. But if we can improve on that, obviously that's football, isn't it?
Underrated opinion, which I haven't heard regarding this as a situation. Sign the contract, bro. Stay at Palace. You're loved there.
Yeah.
They're on the up. You guys had a great season last year. You're in the Conference League, which you could win.
Yeah, which is a shame, though, by the way. We didn't mention that.
Yeah, we'll probably touch on that another time, just for timing-wise. But unfortunate for the roaring from Cass, for Nottingham Forest being promoted to the Europa League, Crystal Palace being demoted to the Conference League. Shame that football be like that sometimes. Money in the back of many a folk's pockets, and it leads to awful decisions being made.
Sweet corruption, maybe.
Yes, for the pure justice of the game not being served, and it's a shame. But from Palace's perspective, they probably would expect now to go on to at least get to the semi-finals of that competition.
Yeah, they're going
to
be one of the best clubs in there.
And Eze could stay at Palace, sign a contract, maybe put another release clause in for a year's time. If he stays at Palace, Crystal Palace had the most players in that England squad at the Euros last year.
Yeah, I know, it's wild, isn't it?
If he stayed at Palace, he'll be in that Euro squad next year.
I would like, again, Palace, our favourite team in the world last year.
They're an adopted team of the pod.
I know, they are. It's the vibes team, man. And I would, I genuinely would like to see him at Palace. Obviously, he's a great player and it'd be amazing at Arsenal.
Yeah.
But I've got such a soft spot for this Palace team and what they've been through and their FA Cup run that they had last year. I would like to see him there, and I'd really like to see them have a run in the Conference League. I think that'd be great.
Big up.
Big up, Palace.
Big up. I think that's a great way to end, to return our affinity of how much we love Crystal Palace.
Yeah, what else did we talk about?
And we're welcoming back Premier League football. Absolutely. And we can't wait.
Very excited. Taylor, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Hope you guys enjoyed. Please like. That's absolutely massive for us. Please subscribe. Please comment. That does so much for us. I was meant to mention this at the beginning of the episode because not enough of you do. But it really does help kind of push the channel. If you links to the description for time codes, as well as our Premier League Fantasy League, which you haven't, if you haven't joined, now's your chance. Winner gets a signed football shirt by me and Taylor. I've upped it from regular football shirt. It's a signed red and white.
That's pretty huge.
That's an investment, is what that
is.
It is
an investment.
It is an investment. But another good episode. I really enjoyed it. Thank you very much, Taylor. And thank you very much for listening.
We'll see you soon, everyone. Bye.